to advertise, email podcast@thisismatchy.com.
Release yourself from order and logic and enter a new place. It's not work. It's not home. Here, no maps have been drawn. No books have been written. Nothing is certain. Everything is possible. Welcome to podcast and chill with Matt G.
I'm assuming this doesn't end well.
It might be a plastic cup, but it's a curse broken nonetheless for Manchester City. And we're on to the MTN 8 semi-finals. Welcome to Onside ZA, brought to you by Betway, where you get way more. Remember, if you are joining as a new user on the Betway app, use our affiliate code Onside ZA when you join. Joining me on Onside ZA today, Mr. Len Moleko.
Yes, sir.
Tepi Worldwide, welcome, darling.
Thank you, darling.
And everybody's favorite super sub. And most of all, joining us on the show today is you, the ballers. Thank you so much for joining us. Steez the baller, hello. German Black, hello. Sibo Siso, hello. Mako Berry Studios, we're getting to this one. Gift Real G, thank you so much. Tiamo, Yandisa, and Knowledge, we are here. Let's go. It is Onside ZA. Guys, MTN 8 action. The quarterfinals wrapped up this weekend. Mamelodi Sundowns struggling through the weekend to get on through as we expected them to get through, but sure.
First game of the season, first competitive game. If anything, if you had to read anything into it, I think the two semis, the Cape Town City's Kokune and the Sundowns Polokwane game, very flat as compared to
the previous
first
weekend
round of games the other week. But like, hey, legs are still probably getting there. Eventually it'll get there. But fans are fans. And
yeah. Super sub, we spoke about rustiness in the first set of fixtures in the MTN 8 quarterfinals. Maybe even more so rusty on the second weekend.
I beg to differ a little bit there, because I feel like Mamelodi Sundowns actually exerted themselves very well to that Polokwane team. I mean, they were just unlucky. Yeah, I think Shalulile hit the post, I think, twice or three times. You know, when you're playing a game of that magnitude and you're still getting into those spaces and hitting the target, it's just a matter of getting one in and then it was going to change everything. So I think they did everything right in that game. And yes, obviously the rustiness will come into play, but I don't think they were as rusty. I think they played very well, but they were just unfortunate and not with the conversions.
Mako Berry Studio saying this new Sundowns is more dangerous than last season's Sundowns.
Still to be seen. I think it's still early days.
It's too early.
Obviously they've changed personnel, new broom as it were, but It was in the back room or in the garage somewhere. It just got taken out to sweep with it.
But the floor's clean already, so.
Is it though?
Well, Sundowns. It was a clean sweep nearly last season, besides some cup games.
Yeah.
It was nearly, literally a clean sweep, unbeaten until the last day.
Yeah. Coach Mangoba actually said the post-match interview, he said that, you know, the boys did play well. And, you know, they created, I believe, in the first half about 17 chances.
That's exactly that,
precisely.
Yeah.
And he said that, you know what, it was just a bit unlucky. And more than anything, you know, he felt as though they started to get a bit anxious because the goals were not coming in. And maybe that's the reason why the scoreline was the way it is. But he said that there were many chances, but obviously he was kind of leaning towards them not being as clinical as they should have been.
Mackleberry Studio saying it's tough to score against the team that parks the bus. That is true.
Yeah,
it can be tough to break down a team that's looking to be super defensive.
Yeah, and the other thing is,
and
if we
did speedy forwards, so if, they were waiting for them on counter, and that's how the opportunity came about.
If you look at, see, now you made me lose my train of thought. super sub. I forgot what I wanted to say.
Sorry about that, man.
Yeah. But just basically going back to the games. Oh, yes. I wanted to allude to the fact that it's also a cup game. You don't want to be exerting yourself too much and then you end up conceding a goal and now chasing the game. And like they call it, it's wafa wafa. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
So there is a level of cautious approach that also comes with trying to create opportunities, but caution will go first. We saw with the Pirates game, they were rattled when SuperSport United suddenly hit a different gear.
Yep.
To a point whereby the game even went through
to extra time. Yeah.
So it's one of those. And again, I still allude to the fact that it's the first game of the season.
It's always tricky, yeah, and it's a cup tricky game.
Yes. That's why you're the one who mentioned that.
Peter.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You never liked this competition, yeah, how it starts.
Guys, but I won't lie, Ney. As much as, and granted, it is the first cup competition or the first matches of the season, but there's nothing. Remember that as spectators and supporters, we are anticipating, like, you know, a performance of note. And unfortunately, that's not the case. I just really wish that, you know, I don't know how they're going to somehow combat this thing of coming back and being not at their best. I'm not sure if that's even a thing that's going to happen. But we want action. And I think Orlando Pirates gave us that action. And I believe Staley's gave us that action. We want goals. And yeah, we didn't see that this past weekend.
I actually have a bone to pick with my Mamelodi Sundowns fans.
Okay.
Pick away.
They must stop this nonsense of being Kwetu Warriors. And actually go fill up the stadium. Mamelodi Sundowns was playing at home at Lucas Masterpiece Moripe.
It's small stadium.
Small stadium. Small stadium. It's got a capacity of 30,000 seats, and it was not packed. They failed. It's a first game of the season. You've been deprived of football the entire winter, and then the first game of the season, and it's a cup game. You failed to fill up that stadium. They must stop talking on Twitter and go to the stadiums.
But what if they don't have that many fans?
I would like to believe they do.
Sure. After all that success, they should be developing a fan.
I like to believe they do.
I mean, it's Mamelodi Sundowns. They're playing in their territory.
It's a massive club. Their fans have just gone into what you call, it's complacency. Mm. You know, you expect your team to win. You don't go out there and support it. They must go out and support their team. I would have loved to see that masterpiece packed to the rafters in yellow.
So you're saying Sundowns fans should almost be like what Kaizer Chiefs fans are, for instance.
And where London even, Pirates supporters. I
mean, Chiefs, despite losing matches and stuff, the fans, in as much as they will go QWERTY Warrior, but they will still go to the stadium. Well, maybe during the derby and during a Sundowns match.
Yeah, Chiefs fans in the past 3 years, they are also a bit off, you know, and I guess you tend to gravitate towards going to the stadium when your team wins more, you know. And that's why I have an issue with Mamelodi Sundowns. You know, your team is winning more. Why are you sitting back? Because it's winning. That's when they need your support more.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Do you think the stature of the game was worthy of a stadium to be filled?
Yes. And I'll tell you why.
And let's not allude to it being the first game of the season.
That's the biggest factor that you cannot draw away.
But there are certain games. I mean, even if...
No, an 8-8 is a big competition.
I'm not disputing that. I am saying if Sundowns was playing Pirates or maybe SuperSport United, there would have probably been more people at the stadium.
That would have meant that there would have been more Orlando Pirates supporters to fill up the stadium.
Oh, well, I didn't see it that way, but she said it.
I spoke about SuperSport United as well, right? I think it's the stature of the game.
Pirates played SuperSport.
But that would also mean that the supporters...
Pirates was playing SuperSport.
SuperSport is a big team.
My man, SuperSport has got 10 supporters.
You've counted them.
I can count them with my 10 fingers, bro. They've got 10 supporters.
And you must remember that, again, it's fine. Supporters, sharp, cool. I'm talking about the status of the actual fixture. Polokwane Sundowns, SuperSport United, Pirates, two different things. This is Gavin Hunt. There are former Pirates players that have moved over to SuperSport United. SuperSport United has a history of, you know,
Nibbling Pirates,
you know, the six... Those kind of narratives come into play.
You're making excuses for
those
fans?
I agree with you,
fans.
But Oksalai was the first match of the season. They were meant to be there to support their team.
Exactly.
Irrespective of who they were contending against, they were meant to be there to show support for their team, and they failed to do so.
The status of the game was not
they've
big
got,
enough.
They've got an opportunity to show up against Stellies in the semi-final. Stellies is not a small game in terms of the propensity of the game.
Fair point.
They should be going there to watch a good football match. Those are two good footballing sides, Stellies and Sundowns.
Look, Stellies will probably fill up their backyard, the one where the cows play.
I'm not talking about the propensity of fandom for Stellies or the history of a club or anything along those lines. But if you're a Sundowns fan, you support a team that's performed sterlingly well for you over the past few years, and they're going to play a difficult MTN 8 semi-final against Stellies. It should be a good game.
Okay, let's look at football support in this country. Number one, I still stand by saying we are not a footballing nation. We just love the game. Okay. Yes, I said it. Right? Chiefs, Pirates.
Okay, may I interject? What is a footballing nation? How do you define a nation as a footballing loving nation, by the way?
England is a footballing nation.
What does that mean?
They take their football seriously.
In which sense?
In all aspects of the game.
Please elaborate.
Look at their league, number one. Hmm. Number two, look at the games that we even consume their football probably more than we consume our own.
Okay, so that makes them a footballing loving nation.
No, they are a footballing nation.
Footballing
we
nation.
We are a football loving nation.
Okay.
Yes.
So England, which other nation is a footballing nation?
Germany. They pack a stadium like crazy.
And what makes us not be a footballing nation?
We don't go watch
what
our games.
What do we lack?
Football is a by the way for us. It's about, like, to a point whereby, all right, you find instances where when the Springboks are playing, even if they play in Portugal, sorry, Marco.
Yeah.
The stadium will be full. Mm-hmm. Bafana playing Zimbabwe, there'll be like 5 people at FNB.
Okay, so we are a rugby nation.
That we are, yes.
Ah. Go back in the history and check games of your Orlando Pirates versus Swallows, your Orlando Pirates versus Chiefs in back in the days. You will see that we are a football nation country. There's just we have regressed from the past years. That's the problem. And but we have to go back to what made us stand out.
Remember, in the past, going to the stadium was a let out. The first time I went to a stadium was when I moved to Johannesburg. I had never been to a football stadium before that.
Yeah.
Right? So with aspects like that, like the likes of you coming from your bakery, and all those people who have flooded into Johannesburg throughout the years, who never really necessarily had the opportunity to go to an Orlando or a Thompsonville Stadium, because those were like a stone throw away for a Tepi, for instance. They were not for me. But even with being presented with the luxury, in inverted commas, of going to those places, I just sit on my couch and watch at home.
Okay, let's move on to the comments.
I still don't agree with that, because, I mean, if you go to the townships or every weekend, you will see how much people love football in this country.
I said we are a football-loving nation, yes, but we are not a footballing nation.
What does that even mean? I don't think it makes sense.
They're playing football all the time in this country. But anyway, in the comments, Neo Isaac saying Super Sports has a fan for every day of the week.
Wow.
Sibu Siso saying, I agree with Super Sub. Sundowns have no business not filling stadiums,
exactly,
especially since they've been dominant in the past the past 10 years.
Exactly.
And Mpoza says he understands Len's devil advocate angle, but he still agrees with Super Sub. Anyway, let's move on to the semi-final fixtures, rather. Sundowns versus Stellies, like I said, should be a good game. Those are two good sides, both performing well.
After them taking Rainers, that's going to be interesting.
Also, that's another angle for
course.
I mean, but
let me tell you what's funny.
I spoke too soon last week.
Precisely, I was about to say that Super Sub was talking about how Stellies has the boys on lock, you know, and how they're not about to be taken by any team. And what did Mamelodi Sundowns do?
At the right price.
From your mouth to Sundowns' ears, my darling.
But at the right
price. At the right price, you have to.
Yeah.
What is that price, granted, actually, Len? It actually divorced?
Granted, yeah.
I don't, in South African football, we don't, unfortunately.
Because I saw earlier, sorry, I'm digressing, right? I saw earlier that Cheko Faso Mabaso, there were interest from, I think, Algeria, and they wanted to pay, I think, 20 million to Orlando Pirates, and Pirates says, nope, can't
and
do.
And Thingy is also being eyed, I think he's going to Algeria. I think he's a steady player. It's not Ikram Rhinos, the other one. Sorry, Polokwane City.
Apolis.
I've read about that as well.
Yeah,
okay,
too.
Back to the fixture.
Yeah.
Sundowns hosting Stellies. Stellies, will they be less likely to park the bus to the same extent and try and get at Sundowns a little bit more and try and hurt them? Or will they be playing a similar game of let's defend deep, let's make sure that we secure and then hit on the counter-attack and hope that we can get a goal?
The semi-final of the MTN 8 is a bit of a tricky assignment because it's two legs.
Right.
Stellies obviously will enjoy playing their home fixture because they've got a very compact stadium. Super sub, man. They've got a very compact stadium. And I think the more difficult fixture for them will be the return leg, which will be interesting to see where Sundowns play it.
They'll play it at Masterpiece. Why wouldn't they play it at Masterpiece?
At Moripea.
Or you were thinking Loftus.
Well, clash of brands.
Nah, they'll take it at Masterpiece.
But Masterpiece is also compact.
And even so, I mean, they're not able to even fill up a Moripe. Why would they want to go for something even bigger?
No, it's not even about filling up.
What I is mean, it?
It's just like
sponsorship
a change
issue.
Of
no, no, it's sponsorship. Remember, Loftus is branded by
Red Car, the Red Network.
The Red Network, and this is the
Yellow Network.
Yellow Network's competition.
It's a lot.
Cost a lot of money because now the Yellow Network would have to cover the stadium.
It's a conflict.
Yeah, so it's Masterpieces works because I think even last year when they played Chiefs.
When they got knocked by Orlando Pirates, they couldn't play at Loftus, but I think there was an issue with Masterpiece conditions. They had to take the game to Polokwane.
Yes, that's when the stadium was still being Masterpieces was like
in pieces
was being put together. Yeah.
It was in pieces,
So, but Loftus they can't use because of a clash of brands on sponsors. So, I don't know.
I think Stellies, you know what, Ne, as much as Stellies will go in there valiantly as they do, but the thing is, they've kind of struggled against Sundowns, and in fact, the very last match in the league against Sundowns was a 1-0 win against Sundowns. I wonder which type of Stellies we are going to see, because we're yet to really see what they really bring to the table this season, you know? So it's going to be quite interesting
Stellies
to see what
Sundowns.
Happens. No, Sundowns beat Stellies, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So they might struggle against. They might have, you know, good luck with their petite little stadium when they are playing at home. But even that might be a stalemate.
Stellies have exerted themselves as a cup
specialist.
So they are the new Chiefs. You know, they're sort of like pushing the boundaries when it comes to cups. And I think they might be in to cause an upset, which I'm hoping not. Because
You want the final. I know where this is going.
I want Mamelodi Sundowns and Orlando Pirates final. I think South Africans deserve good quality football. And I think that's what...
And I think a stadium
being a
needs
bit
to be,
harsh on Stellies there to say that it wouldn't be good football Pirates versus Stellies or Cape Town City versus Stellies.
No, I want the Cape Town final for a change.
Now, I want a stadium to be filled up.
Yeah. It won't be unless if it's Sundowns.
That's what I'm saying.
Unfortunately.
That's what I'm saying.
But I suppose if it's a Pirates Stellies final in
Mabida,
in the city of finals,
yeah,
it will probably fill up.
No, not probably. It's guaranteed fill up.
Okay, spokesperson.
We can always look at the history. We don't have to really, really debate it.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Fair point.
Numbers don't lie.
Let's look at their fixture. Cape Town City, Orlando Pirates. Pirates have been very good in cup competition. We saw last season.
Who's
we
going
saw
to be
season
the riff?
Before.
Don't start.
Tomfoolery.
Who's going I'm
so,
joking.
Cape Town
Safa
City.
Safa will tell us.
We are suffering as we speak, my friend. Yeah.
What are we thinking?
It's gonna I be still say Cape Town City to cause an upset.
Yeah,
Pirates
it's gonna
go
be
to Cape Town, struggle.
Yeah.
And probably nibble it at Orlando.
I was about to say, I feel like Orlando Pirates is gonna struggle in Cape Town and they might just have to finish up the job in Orlando.
But generally they do struggle in Cape Town.
Generally, from the days of Santos.
Of course.
Eric Tinkler says that we are the surprise package in this competition.
I think they are. And you know...
As long as the package is big enough.
Hmm.
Yo.
Okay.
I think Cape Town City, right? We're one of the first teams to get off the blocks to prepare for this coming season. I think they gathered for preseason rather quite early, than a lot of teams have.
Yeah. And they've added some good personnel, actually.
Yes, so. they did their business very early.
Mm. Yeah, shame.
Lost some players.
Did you see the benefits of that this weekend?
But yeah, I mean, it was a slim win for them against Sekhukhune. So what exactly are we saying Sekhukhune about Cape Town City?
They're a good side.
That's what I'm telling you. Sekhukhune, do you understand?
And again, we go back to saying rustiness, first game of the season. Yeah. It's not like Cape Town City were in Spain playing against Sevilla's under-16 team.
Yeah, neither was Sekhukhune though.
But we know the
we know that's a shot in another direction. Like, we know what that is.
This, like, I can't with this guy.
What did I do? What did I say?
Like, say it with your chest, okay?
I'm just saying.
But I mean, it was very close. I mean, we can't say that Sekhukhune was really... It could have been anyone's game. But Cape Town City came out. But if we're saying that Cape Town City did not do as well against Sekhukhune, and then we're saying Orlando Pirates is going to struggle against them, I guess the only thing that might contribute towards Orlando Pirates not doing well, like you said, is the climate. Because they are going to be going to the coast. But other than that, what else?
Well... All I can say is that if you are looking at those upsets, you're going to be in for good odds on the Betway app.
So much for Pirates.
If you foresee a Stellies versus Cape Town City final, you'll be in for some money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're a betting man, go for City, go for Stellies. Returns will be looking good for you.
And it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
Yeah.
It's unlikely. The odds are going to reflect the majority opportunity. The odds are going to reflect who the favorites are in the most likely situation.
Yes.
But odds are there to be broken at times, and there's a possibility of an empty innate final between Stellies and Cape Town City.
Precisely.
And I think the neutral would enjoy seeing that.
Yeah. I mean, imagine the universe conspiring in Len Moleko's favor. And, you know, ask me, for example, betting against Sundowns, against Orlando Pirates, and having a Cape Town Derby final. Mm. That would be dope. And that would have meant that I would have made a killing.
And it's highly probable. Those two teams can actually... Cape Town City can
crazy
cause
things
an upset.
Have happened.
Stellies are a force as well. They can also cause an upset. So
spread themselves around.
You know what I mean?
Well... Absolutely. And certainly the best way to beat the odds is with the Betway app. So be sure to download it if you haven't yet and register as a new user. Use the affiliate code OnsideZA. You can also put yourself in the right place at the right time with Betway jackpot slots each week. And you could walk away with a share of 1 million rand in cash prizes. All you need to do to qualify is bet 1 rand or more on Betway jackpot slots every Thursday and Friday between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. And you'll be entered into the weekly draw. Terms and conditions apply. How's that? A 1 rand or more bet between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. on a Thursday and Friday could get you your share of 1 million rand in cash prizes. That's a big one. So big ups to Betway, your best way to beat the odds for sure. And your best way to beat the odds in the MTN 8 semi-finals coming up as well. Of course, we will update you on our social media feeds when those fixtures are announced and the stadiums and dates and everything's confirmed. So be sure to follow us at OnsideZA across social media. Also, don't forget to follow OnsideZA underscore SuperSub.
SuperSub_OnsideZA
on Instagram.
Hey, I'm moving. I'm on 68, guys. Let's get to 100.
Let's get to 100 followers. Come on. Let's get to
100. So you've got more followers than SuperSport United has fans.
I'm bigger than SuperSport.
Cheers, SuperSam.
Okay. Local football news in the Betway Premiership. Mm-hmm. I just like saying it. The Betway Premiership.
Thanks, darling.
Speaking of Sundowns, Teboho Mokoena has signed a contract extension until June 2029. Is that the end of the discussion about Mokoena heading to Europe?
Looks like it.
Looks like it?
And I think probably Sundowns are outpricing a lot of... It's better to earn... 500, I think I spoke about this last week on the show. It's better to earn 500k a month at Sundowns than to go earn 200,000 rands a month at
Brighton,
at Augsburg or Brighton or whatever. Yeah. So I think it's just a financial decision. And in as much as I said, money is ruining football, it's a financial decision.
And I think it was very smart of Sundowns to also kind of put a rest to the rumors that he could be moving to your likes of Al Ahly or some North African country.
We've seen it all over since January. Exactly. Let's be honest.
So they put
since
this
AFCON,
to rest. I'm surprised.
Mokoena has been on the lips of every journalist about where he's going to end up in Europe because the European clubs are licking their lips. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Yeah. I think this contract might be exactly that. And it's a long contract, 2029.
Uh-huh.
It shows Sundowns' appreciation for the player and how important it is that, guys, leave the rumors. He's our boy.
And it's also, they've only gave Temba's 1 year, 1 year contract extension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Age is a factor.
Yes. So you kind of want to solidify your A-listers. Not saying that Temba's 1 year is not an A-lister, but from an age perspective, he's not that much of an investment as opposed to or in comparison to Mokoena.
And looking at it, go ahead.
May I say also, I think the reason I'm sure Zwane is older than Mokoena.
No, he is older.
Yes. Like, and I think, yes, precisely. So it was a strategic decision in the sense that they still want him, but they also know that they can't have him for too long because age is obviously going to contribute towards his performance. But they gave him a year because that keeps him motivated and working hard. You see? So the harder you work, you might get another extension and the like.
It's a move that makes sense. You want Temba to stay there and help solidify things while your coaching
and
staff has been shuffled.
And his guidance.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's like, let's not shuffle things around too much. Let's keep Temba. He's still performing at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure he sticks around for another year and helps us through this transition period. And then after that, when things have stabilized on a coaching front, etc., and you've been able to bring in the likes of Reyners into the squad, then you can look at whether you guys want to renew again, whether he wants to move on elsewhere and things like that. But it was important for them to lock him down to another year.
Facts.
No, for sure.
Facts.
And just for that stabilization that he brings to the core of the squad whilst those transitions are happening in the management
department.
I mean,
his contribution, Marco, is invaluable. I don't think there's a person who really performs optimally in the manner in which that man does. I mean, yes, we can compare. Mokoena is great in the midfield, but Zwane is one of those people you know good to when he's there, things are going to happen. And Shami's contribution, considering also his age, is invaluable at Sundowns and the experience he comes with and just his leadership role within the squad. So it's smart for them to keep him.
So, I mean, where does he go?
Sorry,
at the age of 35. Yeah. And I think
Saudi Arabia.
At 35 and you are from down south. Come on, man.
I'm just saying.
Like, gross. I think also there is an element of future plans with him, you know, because Sundowns, I think they really do well with like a lot of ex-players that have served the club for long. Like, if you look at guys like Hlompho Kekana, what's this other guy that is promising other people stuff there in church?
Who in church?
Go Deepa Papa as well is still very much part of Sundowns. So there's a whole lot of them that are still there within the structures of Mamelodi Sundowns. If you look at your Sapras Muriri, Godfrey Sapula, they're all part of Mamelodi Sundowns structure. So I think part of his deal, they're like, you know what, we'll give you a year and most probably they will find a space for him somewhere within the ranks of
Dennis as well.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of players that are
Mambushi.
Kenneth Mwen is part of the technical team. Yes. So if you serve Sundown well, this is what they do so well compared to other teams from Soweto.
I wanted to ask that question. Which team does that? Which team discards of their legends or discards of their long standing?
You can't say discard.
What do you say?
It's business. When a contract ended, it's ended and you're no longer serving the club. But if there's a space for you, Mamelodi Sundowns will keep you. Other teams, if they don't have space for you, hey, you'll find it elsewhere.
But okay. Also, let's take into account, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Swallow's gone, Bloom gone. In terms of teams with, I want to call it legacy, like a rich culture and
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs, Pirates, Sundowns.
AmaZulu?
To a degree.
Mm.
Those are the only four teams.
SuperSport as well.
SuperSport.
Thabo September did well. Ricardo Katze, I think, is still there as well. You know, so.
Yeah, maybe SuperSport, we can throw it in the mix there.
We'll see. But I think a lot of Sundowns fans are hoping that he will retire there at the club and then keep that legacy of Sundowns intact. as far as his career is concerned. Moving on, Sibo Siso asks Marco Tepi, what are the grapevines saying? When can we expect the launch of the league season?
The league is starting in September.
We know September, that. September 15th or something.
Yeah, it's been announced.
It's mid-September standard.
It's now MTN 8. After MTN 8, there's KEF.
KEF this weekend.
KEF this weekend. And then MTN 8, I think, returns then, for the semifinals.
No.
Yes. The semis are going to be after the KEF.
No, it's KEF first leg, KEF second leg, and then the MTN 8.
And then the international break.
Yes. And then the league resumes.
And then the league starts.
Oh, yeah, but I know. Oh, yes. Because
I know Pirates is playing on the 17th.
They had to change some dates.
And then on the 23rd.
Yes, they had to change some dates.
So it's
this weekend, next week.
And then the MTN 8 will come back after 2 weeks.
There's nothing in the grapevine, darling. And if there is, you'll be the first to know, trust.
The grapevines are not vining.
They are there in Stelis.
Yeah. But if you do look it up, the opening set of fixtures has been released and the season kicks off on the 14th of September.
Yeah, 14th, not 15th.
The Tshwane Derby, as we mentioned before, where Sundowns and Supersport United will be playing against each other.
What sort of a trophy are we going to see? Because that DSTV trophy was not nice at all.
We know we've got scoops and things, but what are we going to reveal before everybody else? Be
friend,
patient.
I've already seen,
wait
like,
for the reveal.
But I can't say. And okay. I can't even describe it, but it's nice.
Let me shush. I was just saying that DSTV trophy
it's
was
nice.
Crap.
Is it nice? It's going to blow
it
people away.
It was not
away.
Worth
no,
lifting.
It's nice.
I'm joking.
It's nice. And you'd be surprised at what it looks like also.
But also
like,
remember, to be fair to them, the whole deal and redesigning of the trophy and everything happened so quickly because after COVID, the league did not have a sponsor. Upside just pulled out. So something had to give.
I mean, Upside's pull-out game was on point. But, I mean, we're talking about...
You couldn't resist, would you?
You couldn't resist.
No. Okay, nah. time to move on.
There.
Okay.
Tepi, darling, are you ready for us to jet off, darling?
Yes, darling, yes.
This is Around the World with Tepi Worldwide, brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Remember to use the Aviator game within the Betway app. It's a lot of fun, especially at halftime while you're waiting for fixtures to resume. It's a good way to pass those halftime adverts on the TV.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
Anyway, Tepi, where are we heading off to?
Let's go to Spain. It's actually Spain, but also in Saudi Arabia at the same time. So, tell me how crazy it would be, né? And what you do as an individual at the peak of your career. You're playing for probably the most successful, biggest team in the world. And then you're offered like probably 3-4 times of what you currently make. So the story is this. Real Madrid star Vinicius Jr., you know him, my ex. He's been offered a lucrative deal worth more than 1 billion US to play in Saudi Arabia, according to multiple sources. It says that the source, which is anonymous, by the way, says that Vinny was approached by Saudi officials and offered a 5-year contract worth around 200 million euros, which is roughly 280 million US per season, plus bonuses to join the Saudi Pro League. It is said that he is considering it. Obviously, that's a lie. But the question
Brazilians,
here is that...
You know Oscar.
Considering.
Remember Oscar?
It's basically the Mbappe deal. Yes.
Yeah, because remember Mbappe's report rejected a 775 million deal in Saudi Arabia at Al Hilal. And his one is 1 billion US.
And Mbappe's deal was very sweet because it was a season loan while he was sitting on the bench at PSG because of the discrepancy of renewing his contract. And he would have been allowed to join Real Madrid after that.
Mm-hmm. So he could have had a year and year of just making
of
money.
Making
and
some
he was offered
zuck.
A car and a house or something, right?
Ah, you know all these guys.
He didn't want to dilute his reputation.
Yeah. So my question is this. If you are Vinicius right now, and this is a real thing. There is a billion.
An offer will come again next year.
What do you do?
An offer will come again next year for Vinny Jr.
I've won the Champions League. I've won the La Liga.
But you are the main... Remember, you're the main name on the list of Ballon d'Or. Yeah. And I don't know how much they'd appreciate someone moving to Saudi.
Yeah. Well, for me, if I was Vinny, I wouldn't take the deal. Because right now, I think there's still a lot that he can do in the world of football. I think he has changed his family's fortunes for good, you know. And you're still very young. You can still go at the age of 30 and make that billion in Saudi.
I'm going to play devil's advocate again.
An offer will come.
You are Vinny, né? You reject this offer.
Yeah.
All right? You stay at Real Madrid, you get injured. Then what?
What do you mean you get injured? You get injured and you never play
football.
That's
very pessimistic to think. Injury instead of
thinking. Because that's what ends
he's
a career.
He's a very glass.
Oh, you're talking about if ever he gets an injury that he could never play football again.
Yes, a career.
Those guys have
injury.
Got crazy insurance, bro.
But still, I get what you're saying. But you're talking about how many footballers in their career at that age? It's a rare thing.
At what age?
At the age that Vinny's at.
Isn't he
but
like
he's
21?
Not ending his career. He's going to...
But what I'm saying is how many people end their career with an injury? Oh, you're talking about a statistical unlikelihood.
My 1 out of 10.
At Real Madrid. And the chance to win a...
Probably even 50.
And let's be honest, greatly depreciate your opportunity to win a Ballon d'Or because it's voted for by journalists. It's voted for by captains, clubs, players, what coaches, everything, right? Their appreciation for you by taking a deal to Saudi League, I will say it right here. Vinny Jr. moves to Saudi now for the money. He will not win the Ballon d'Or.
That's it.
End of story. It will go to Jude or someone else.
Because you're really
right?
About the money, not about the
but
sport.
But here's the thing, though. There was a comment that was made. I think it was by, was it Oscar? But one of the Brazilians who was saying that it's pointless to be loyal to a Real Madrid or an Arsenal or a Man United, instead of going to a Saudi or going to China earning big money. Because at the end of the day, where football is right now, it's the owners of those clubs who are actually making the big bucks and not the actual players who are grafting every day. So
nah,
rather
bro.
Go and I'm just telling you what somebody said. It's not my sentiment.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
yeah,
but
I'm
look,
listening.
We can break it down. We can break down your that guy's sentiment, right?
Yeah, it's a reach.
It's a reach.
I think
those guys are rich. Those guys are filthy rich.
I would
rich?
Be shocked.
Go Vinicius Junior.
What yeah,
is just
rich enough.
Just check his net worth.
But okay, I get it. King saying Vinny is Brazilian. I don't trust him. They love money.
Yeah, sure.
It's a fair point.
Unpredictable.
But I would still be shocked if Vinny took that deal.
No,
as big as it is, I'd be shocked to see it happen. But it's not beyond the realms of possibility. But I don't imagine it happens now. And I think his team will be saying to him, listen,
relax.
That offer will come again next year.
Michael. And then once you've got a Ballon d'Or, it's even worth more.
Yes.
It's going to be 2 billion.
Why are you wearing a ring on your ring finger?
It's not. It's my right hand.
Oh, okay.
You are casting aspersions.
Yeah.
Even though ESPN FC actually reported that the Saudi Public Investment Fund, those guys
PIF.
With the money, they've met with Vinny's representatives.
I'm sure they would.
I mean,
they have to present the offer, and it's a substantial
offer,
and it'll be a discussion.
Of course.
But I think that he will be in the knowledge that that offer will come again next year.
Yeah.
Like you said, with a Ballon d'Or, it'll be more. I think now is absolutely not the right time to take that deal. I would want a Ballon d'Or first. You know,
I think, don't you think that he would also want to play amongst his peers?
Well, okay, let's switch the conversation quickly before we move on because I want to move on soon. Macoberry Studios brings up a good point. He's leaving Spain because of the racist treatment he receives there.
Is he not going to receive ill treatment
in
Saudi?
Better there.
In Arab.
I think so.
Or what?
Well, I haven't heard of racist treatment in Saudi League.
Yeah, it's probably just, you know, covered up
they've
or
got,
nice.
They've got good PR.
I don't know. They pay everyone who's in the stadium, guys. Come now. It's not just football fans rocking up and being hooligans. They pay them, you wave this flag at this time and you clap your hands.
Yeah.
It's not like he's a homosexual, which would be a much more difficult decision.
Yeah.
Or at least an open homosexual. He's a black player who receives racist treatment in Spain.
Yep.
And he could move to Saudi for big money and be more appreciated in a way.
Because the people there have a darker hue, so therefore they won't be as racist. Okay, let's move on to the next one. I'm being shady, Marco.
Let's do it. Let's move on.
We're going to Egypt. Yes. The Egyptian public prosecution has ordered the detention of Zamalek, an Egypt defender. His name is Ahmed Fetou, for 4 days pending an investigation, unfortunately. This follows an incident earlier on Sunday morning where Fetou was involved in a car accident on the Cairo Alexandria Desert Road that resulted in the death of a police officer.
Mm.
He was driving at the time, was accompanied by his Zamalek teammate goalkeeper Mohamed Sobhi as they were returning to Cairo after the incident. Feto was taken into custody at the Alamien police station, while Sobhi was released since he was not driving the vehicle. In fact, I checked that they had even taken a drug test and it came out negative, but they still want to take another one because, of course, they're trying to pin something on him. There's nothing about alcohol. He was clearly just speeding. And unfortunately, a police officer lost their lives.
Yeah, look, it's a serious matter, and I think it's being treated with the seriousness as it is. I don't know if it's necessarily talking about the officials of wanting to pin something on someone who's high profile. But when it's such a high profile incident and a police officer has lost their life.
It's not a joke.
It's not a joke. And
actually, any
I think
person
the officials,
losing their lives, but a police officer.
It's serious public matter of public interest in Egypt. And I'm sure it's all the biggest news there right now. Condolences to the families of those who've lost their lives.
It could be
terribly
anyone.
Sad news, but we don't like these sorts of stories attached to football in general, right? And it happens, and speed is an issue.
Like, I can tell you something, because I've been to Cairo, and I can tell you now, if you think South Africans are bad drivers, wait until you drive in Cairo.
Oh, we're not bad drivers at all.
It's madness there. I don't know how they do it. It's madness, and I'm not even surprised.
Sippy, where are you driving?
I mean,
we're not bad drivers at all.
No, friend. Trust me. Like, if you've driven in other parts of the continent, even, you realize
that we are
not bad drivers at all.
Being good by relation does not make you good. Do you know what I'm saying?
Guys, in comparison to other African continent, other countries, we're actually not bad.
I'll accept that.
Yes.
Where are we off to next, darling?
That's all I have for you guys. I have two stories. And I also wanted to ask you guys once again, because the Olympics are done now. Thoughts in conclusion on, you know, what happened?
I can sleep.
In conclusion, well done to our medal winners. You've made South Africa proud. I'm very proud of every athlete.
This sounds so PR.
It is PR because I don't have nice
don't
things
care.
To say about the Olympics. So.
He's like,
oh, snap. What? Big ups to Botswana.
Yes,
of
course.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, the 200 meter.
What is
no,
it?
No. The reception of
The reception.
Yes, when I think he arrived earlier today, Tuesday, 30,000 people packed the national stadium in Botswana.
Incredible.
The president came out. Like, I go back to saying, we're not a sporting nation, guys.
Ah, Suga. You're getting too excited. Botswana
has only how many million people? 4 million. How many people do they have as a population? Of course.
But they were all there, so.
They were all
That's
there.
What I'm saying. Yes. It's good. Come on, guys.
Yeah, no, it's something that is commendable, you know, and I think it's going to inspire a lot of children. And what he has done for that country, I think it's going to go down in history. And also, it has, like, now brought the spotlight into our southern region, because obviously this is the first 100 meters we've won in the history of Olympics. So we're definitely going to have more coming out of this region. Trust me, because children are going to be inspired.
So congratulations once again to South Africa. The top African teams, I believe South Africa, I think Morocco is also there, as well as Kenya. Botswana, not really.
And congratulations to Nigeria for participating.
Sure. Super sub. He's lucky he's not on camera, this man, because the shots fired at Nigeria, my man. Let me tell you something.
I just want to say big ups to the German guy who gave that Nigerian person a bicycle. That's the person who deserves a trophy. Anyway, that's all we have for you worldwide.
Okay, well, you said my PR
guy
answer.
Didn't have a bicycle and couldn't compete, and then he got a bicycle from the German, and
that's lovely.
So why did he go to the Olympics without a bicycle?
Because then...
Why did you go to the Olympics? Read the article.
Anyway, you said my answer was too PR about the Olympics.
Yes, my babe.
Here is my whole thing on the Olympics.
Let's hear
you. This is an article from timeslive.co.za about Joanne van Dyk, who won a medal for South Africa in the javelin at the Olympics.
That lady,
right? Here is the article. Joanne van Dyk achieved Team South Africa's sixth Olympic medal at Stade de France on Saturday night, without much support from official structures back home, relying instead on much-needed help from her parents. Originally from the Western Cape, Van Dyk had to dig deep to continue competing after finishing her studies in Potch, where she now lives. She says, so very difficult. I think especially after I finished with my studies, I have been supported by my parents because they also believed in me. And they were believing in that passion that I have. it was quite difficult. It's difficult when everybody else is moving on with their lives and earning salaries, and I'm just here, just trying and still trying. Okay, so that's my whole thing with the Olympics, whether it be South Africa's Olympic and Athletics Committee, whether it be the Olympics not aiding or enforcing certain things within those committees. This is an athlete who's won a medal for her country, mostly with the backing of her parents financially. She's a white woman in South Africa who went to university. How much talent do we have in this country of people who are underprivileged that don't have the opportunities for their parents to assist them, and how much talent is lying around? Yes, I understand this is a South Africa issue, not necessarily Olympics, but I'm talking about the scale of the entire industry around the Olympics and the Olympics not taking two stories like this and making change in the nation, saying, you come and compete with us, we are going to help you reform your athletics committee, because there's no interest there. It's all about their own pockets. There's my PR answer gone.
Marco, on your PR answer, ne? Like, let's be honest, guys.
Let me unscrew this mic so I can drop it.
What's sexy about javelin? What's sexy about table tennis?
Exactly. Why are you watching? Just wait for football to come back. Enjoy your holiday. Don't watch the Olympics. Who cares?
But there's something that's sexy about the 100 meters, because the javelin athlete, what's her name? Van Dijk, struggling, right? Akani Simbine does not come out and say, no, I was struggling to get to the Olympics, because there's a level of sexiness in the 100 meters or the 200 meters. So,
what
more
are you
money,
saying, bro?
Huh? Like,
more money is being invested and sponsors and whatever. There's more money plugged
into
those kind of events than table tennis, javelin, pole vault. I mean, a lot of people probably watch pole vault for the first time because of the Swedish guy who broke the record.
Bro, I love track and field, honestly. I like track and field. Like, everything that goes in the field, you know. I'm not talking about table tennis. I'm talking about what happens in the track and in the field.
I'm not an auditor. I'm not an investigative journalist. I'm not going to go and audit all the Olympics accounts. But from my understanding, there's substantial money there. Substantial money that is not bled down to general athletes. I understand that medal winners got some money. I understand those sorts of things. But generally, global athletics and these underappreciated sports that at least get a spotlight at the Olympics should be funded, because you guys make enough money and it's daylight robbery.
Yes,
but end of story.
But it does not matter what it does not matter what
they make enough money, because people do watch. The Olympics make substantial money. And I'll tell you what, give me some time. Let me go do the audit.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Let's move on.
Isaacs, the guy, the pole vault guy, is actually Swedish.
Okay.
And that's all we have for you worldwide.
Thank you so much, darling. That was Around the World with Tepi Worldwide, brought to you by Betway. Get way more. Now, if you are into horse racing, it's time to get horse powered and enter our main million jackpot for free every day, where you pick 7 winners and 1 to place for the day's races. And if you predict correctly, you'll win the grand prize of 1 million rand in cash. All you have to do to enter is tap now on the banner on your Betway app. Predict 7 winners across 8 pre-selected races. Once 7 winners have been selected, select 1 horse to place. The selection will not be required to win their race, but place in 1st, 2nd, or 3rd. Terms and conditions apply. Once the first race of the day begins, entries will be closed. If multiple customers make 8 correct selections for any specific jackpot day or event, the winnings will be split amongst all the winners. 1 million rand cash.
But are they talking horses?
Horses.
Friend, you know we didn't get an invite.
Summer Cup's still coming. Summer we'll Cup. Get our invite. Relax.
Yes, I already saw. Like, there's already a theme.
Yes, don't worry, darling.
How am I going to make a dress when I don't know what the theme is? Never been
invited. But you said you
saw
the theme.
I haven't been invited.
Check your emails.
I want a
set up a notification. We will get invited. Don't you worry. And ballers, join us there at the Summer Cup.
Okay.
When it does come. But that's thank you for Around the World, Tepi, darling.
Welcome.
Let's jet off to England. Wembley Stadium, as the season ended last season, it begins this season. A little bit more plastic in this trophy, but Man City break their curse. 3 years in a row of runners-up in the Community Shield. This time they managed to win on penalties against Manchester United. Super sub, your thoughts as a City fan?
Look, I did say that I didn't expect them to win. You know, for me, it was one of those games. You could see even with the starting lineup that he started with the kids, you know. On the other hand, Manchester City went all out, you know.
Man United, you mean?
I mean, Man United went all out, you know. So for me, it was like, I think United needed it more. And for City, it was like, let's give the youngsters a shot in the final, you know. And
Manchester United played the
Marco Aneri battle. You know, Man United
played the
down?
Players who were available because their whole squad's injured again before the season started.
Again, guys, like Super Sapi saying, this is a plastic competition.
I didn't enjoy that. There was nothing like, for me in that game. I just watched it because it's a final. It's a Manchester derby, but it did not have football. The zeal. You know, it didn't have the...
It's preseason.
Yeah, so you guys clearly took it seriously then.
I wouldn't necessarily. I think both sides took it fairly seriously. I think Man City showed how tremendous their squad is because Man United did put up a good squad. I thought Man United over the course of the total 90 minutes were slightly better side.
Mm. Yeah.
They created more opportunities, hit the post. Marcus Rashford should have been.
And it was expected.
Yeah.
I think United played quite well. What stood out for me in that fixture as a Manchester United fan is that I think a lot of Man United fans were hoping now during this transfer window that Casemiro would move on to Saudi so that some money could come into the club for replacements. I thought Casemiro was fantastic in that game.
And wait, playing as a what?
Defensive midfielder, not in centre back.
Yes.
Man United have just signed another centre back, Matthijs de Ligt.
From Bayern. Yes.
Aaron Wan-Bissaka has gone to West Ham, which has allowed Manchester United to also bring Manzoa, also a former Ajax player from Bayern Munich, a right back to play at Manchester United. So that there's competition in places for Diogo Dalo and him. And then Man United, Luke Shaw's never going to be fit ever again in his life. That's a reality. So Dalo might be expected rather to play on the left back position.
For me, it's a case of obviously when you games like the Community Shield. I mean, I could be sitting here jumping on the table because Arsenal won the Emirates Cup, but like, there's really nothing much to those kind of competitions.
But if I was an Arsenal fan, I'll celebrate it.
What the Emirates Cup?
Yeah,
they win it every year.
Oh, you don't celebrate because you're a City fan. You win everything.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I get what he's saying.
He's coming from a place of privilege, and that's why he's talking so
Man City fans are complacent.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, very so nonchalant. Like, you know, he's in his glass house there, throwing stones at the refs.
We filled that stadium.
Oh, and apparently your court case is going to trial in January.
Yeah,
I think.
The next couple of weeks it starts. Should have all the information by January.
Yeah, then it must be broadcasted.
Yeah, and apparently they're willing to release all the information during these proceedings, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
They burned the ones that may attack it. So the ones
it's good for football.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think you know something that the rest of us don't.
All right, mate.
You're the only one with scoops here, darling, not us. We just live our life day by day.
Oh, and he saw Skukune let go of the coach, by the way. I did say this last week, yes. But it's official now. Yeah. But he resigned.
What was he doing at Royal, that guy?
Okay, but we're talking at EPL. Royal sorry, guys.
At Royal AM.
He went to the wrong Royal.
You are so nasty. Marco, yes.
No, he saw a hotel and he thought, "Hurry, let me sleep here for the night."
You can't live all the way from Germany to come here rusty, bro.
Marco?
Okay, so the big news really in England away from the Community Shield, although I think it is good for Man City to have broken that curse of like a pre-season trophy.
Mm.
I mean, penalties after 90 minutes, we get a very funny meme of Unana once again who... His face likes to pop up whenever there's something funny
of
to
course.
Be told.
Shame.
But the real news out of England is that the Premier League kicks off again on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester United against Fulham.
Mm-hmm.
What are we looking forward to this season? Len Moleko, Arsenal to perform. They've strengthened in the right position so far.
So there's this supercomputer that Opta uses.
Yes.
You know, Opta, the guys who do the stats.
Yeah.
So the supercomputer predicts that this is how the league is going to finish come the end of the season.
Okay.
Man City to finish first.
What a shock.
Wow. Who would have thought?
I'm clutching my pearls.
Arsenal to finish second.
What a shock.
No way. Are you serious?
Did they need a computer for that?
Like,
just give a pencil and paper to an 8-year-old. They'd write the same thing.
Just change the seasons. Liverpool to finish third.
Okay.
Now here's a shocker. Chelsea to finish fourth.
Sure.
With their 52 players in their squad.
Yes.
Okay. And I think they've made like the seventh signing.
Yeah, that new Chelsea bench. They're going to have to extend the benches, eh?
They have to sell very crazy, fast.
Yeah.
Newcastle to finish fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Who's fourth?
Chelsea. And Man United to finish sixth, with Spurs seventh, Villa eighth, Crystal Palace ninth, West Ham 10th, Brighton, Hove and Albion 11th, Fulham 12th, Everton 13th, Brentford 14th, Bournemouth 15th, Wolves 16th, Nottingham Forest 17th, Leicester, Ipswich and Southampton to be relegated.
The newcomers.
Ipswich, Southampton, yeah.
The newcomers.
The newcomers are going back.
Out.
That's according to the Opta supercomputer.
Okay, well.
What are you looking forward to this season?
Newcomers have generally been.
Yeah, underdogish.
That's not the biggest reach. Those top three you're not going to argue with. The rest is interesting. Yeah. I agree. I don't see how Everton.
PTM 2 or what?
Yeah, I don't know how Everton's going to finish the season 13th, because by the time Saturday rolls by, they're going to be on minus 20 points because they're going to be deducted more for some, that's one how it's going to work for Everton for the rest of the season as well.
They worked hard.
They worked hard, but they're not going to finish 13th if they keep getting points deducted, I can tell you that. By the time they kick off against Brighton on Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m., where there's a host of fixtures happening, I think it's going to be difficult for Chelsea to finish in the top four. That's why you said it was a surprise. I think you agree with me.
Yeah.
I think their squad is too bloated. I like that they're approaching João Félix again from Atletico Madrid. But it's a mess there. I mean, probably the craziest thing in the transfer window so far is Conor Gallagher.
Going to Madrid.
He's in Madrid. He's had a medical, passed, agreed personal terms. Chelsea send an expensive private jet to collect him and fly him back to London because them and Atletico Madrid have not agreed on a deal yet, while leaving other players out of the squad completely, training with the under-21s who they don't want in the squad for the season. Let him stay there, come to an agreement. It is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. You don't need him to come back right now. You're putting more animosity on the player.
Yeah.
You probably... affecting Atletico Madrid's taste for doing business with you in general, unlike how City did their business nice and clean for the Julian Alvarez deal. You might sabotage that deal and your João Félix deal and make players unhappy. Then they're going to sit in your squad.
Yeah.
You've got too many players. Get rid of some. It is a mess at Chelsea.
But you said
that
venture capitalists look at this as just business and just deal.
I told you guys last week. Last week, I told you.
What did you say?
When the season started, I told you guys, Chelsea, it seems like a lot is not understood. The way...
When I called you, you said it's not a team.
Yes, Chelsea is not a team.
It feels like American sports.
It's like they're learning
business.
As they go. You know, I mean, how do you send a player on the other side before you had a...
Why was he even talking to the club yet?
Yes.
Because from my understanding is that Connor is leaving because they don't want to give him the contract that he wants to get paid on the same level as your Cole Palmers and the likes.
But you need to be given permission from your club to speak to other clubs.
Yeah.
So he was given permission to talk before a deal was. Don't give the permission.
Yeah, the merit
stay
of
here.
Why he wants to leave, it's understandable.
Cool.
Fine.
But
the way the club has handled it is a circus.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, they've not handled it well at all.
But guys, Chelsea, one, is not a club. Two, people who run Chelsea don't know what they do.
Why are you getting frustrated with that?
Because Chelsea is a frustrating team.
One year in, talking about Chelsea, 1 year in, Cole Palmer gets a bumper new contract, earning much, much bigger money.
That's why Connor is leaving.
There was no need to do that contract right now, but they wanted to reward his performances. I'm okay with that. But it's a big contract offer for a club who's spending money left and right on a player that you've just signed. You've just signed. He's got a long-term deal already in place. They signed him on a long-term deal because to meet financial fair play requirements in the first place. What is going on at Chelsea?
Guys, those people don't know what they're doing. That's not a club, guys.
Yeah, and I think they are cooking something that's going to get them into the danger zone.
No, it's that child who keeps on buying new toys because they look shiny and then they get tired of them in a week and they buy some more because they have the money most. So they just keep doing that.
There will be limits at some point because if they're spending so much and they're not even making top four, you know, they're not generating enough. So what I'm trying to say is that there will be a point where that money runs out, not because they don't have like sponsorship injection, but because they're not making more in like stadium takings and all of that, because they're not going to be performing in Europe, which generate extra income for the club.
I agree they're happy because they're going to be playing in the Club World Cup.
Okay, I want to go to the comments here quickly. Future BLO saying Kane might win his first ever trophy this season. What do you mean? You already did. He won the Visit Malta Cup in Tottenham Stadium.
Yes.
What?
What a man.
The Visit Malta Cup. The prestigious Visit Malta Cup.
How many of those does he have?
Well, was the Tiger Cup before?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, yeah.
Wasn't it the Audi Cup at some point?
No, but he won the Tiger Cup. It's a different cup.
This is the season. This is Kane's season.
Are you sure?
And a company.
No. I'm talking about...
No, he has the worst
luck. Okay, let me put it this way. Kane's flourish in preseason.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, back to our Premier League fixtures. I think what I'm going to... I'll throw out some predictions for positions. I do think Man City will cross the line. I think Arsenal will run them close again. I think everyone else will be miles behind again. I think that Liverpool, I think, are going to struggle to perform at the levels that they have performed under Klopp. It is a transition period. I think there is some uncertainty amongst players like Mo Salah, Luis Diaz is in the news talking about how he's already agreed a deal with Manchester City.
I saw that.
That's an interesting piece of news.
Virgil came coming out to say he hasn't had a contract.
Yes. Yes, Virgil van Dijk hasn't even, and he comes out publicly to say there hasn't been any discussions of a
contract. There's some level of instability.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't sense Liverpool will do that well. I think Aston Villa will struggle to finish in the top four again because the Premier League's a difficult league and now they've got Champions League to contend with. The depth of their squad might struggle with that. I think Newcastle will bounce back because they don't have European football to deal with this season. And they've got a very good coach. They've got a good squad. I think they will be a force to be reckoned with.
And West Ham?
I think West Ham...
It's just going to West Ham.
Top 10. Yeah. Okay. I mean, West Ham don't have the squad to be pushing for top four. Brighton also don't really have the squad to be pushing for top four.
Which I think is actually going to surprise many to finish in the top half of the league is Crystal Palace.
I think so. I will agree with that. I think Ipswich will be one to watch.
Yes, I wanted to actually ask this. We have three newcomers, correct? We have Ipswich, we have Leicester, we have Hampton.
Southampton.
Yes. Southampton. Are you happy? How do we think they are going to do?
Ipswich is my pick of the bunch.
Leicester is my pick of the bunch.
I think Leicester. My only issue that why I haven't gone with Leicester on this is financial issues. Leicester have massive financial issues. They might be getting hit with points deductions like Everton.
So Leicester have massive.
Might start in the negative.
Yeah. Yes. So Leicester might have issues coming up and it might not start in the negative, but they will pop up. They've also lost their manager to Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's problems at Leicester. I think that Leicester's a good side. They've got good players. I think they could survive, but I think they're going to be there and thereabouts. They're going to be struggling for survival. They're going to be down there. So Leicester's not my pick of the bunch. Mm. Southampton. I think that Southampton might be a steady ship as they return to the Premier League. They're a name that we know well. But I think Ipswich is my pick of the bunch, the one that I'm excited to see more of. They've performed well. I don't expect them to finish top 10, but I think they would do well to survive after consecutive promotions. from League One.
So basically your Fulhams, your Forests, the ones that are somehow kissing Fulham, the floor should Forest, be very yes. careful of these.
Forest once yeah. again. I think Forest yeah. will be down there. Bournemouth are a good side. Brentford are a good side. But this is a competitive league, so Wolves could be in trouble.
If Brentford lose Ivan Toney, do you
And
still
I heard that Toney
see...
is going to be leaving.
Yeah, I think they promised him that he can leave now. They mm. wanted to hold
After
on to him for
loyal
another
to them
season.
For
yeah,
that
yeah,
season.
Yeah, yeah. So
where would he head to?
I think that's the issue for Ivan Toney is that depending on who comes in for him, but Arsenal,
there was
the Arsenal news,
Arsenal news,
fizzled out, and then it became Man United news. And I don't think Man United are going to go in for Ivan Toney right now, although it would be a good move for them because I don't think they actually have a number nine. They've signed Xerxes, who isn't a traditional number nine, but I think that Man United's, it looks like their ethos for what they're looking to achieve would be, let's not bring in someone that's going to be ahead of Højlund. We want Højlund, Garnacho, Ahmad to have opportunities in the squad under the new Ineos ethos. And they're hoping that Ruud van Nistelrooy can get them firing. I think that's really the ethos. So I don't think Man United will go in for Ivan Toney.
There's nothing on Toney. They're still saying Brentford is holding tight.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be interesting that if Ivan Toney gets an offer from Arsenal and they come up with the money, I think it would be a good move and it would be the move that makes the most sense because they need a number nine.
I think Arsenal need like a 20-plus goal striker.
Yeah, and I think, but also the thing for Arsenal is they would then need to get rid of the Reece Nelsons of this world.
I think Eddie Nketiah. But those, there are offers coming in and they're looking to shop for clubs for those players.
Yes. So to balance the books, there's certain players that need to leave so that Arsenal can go in the market.
Wasn't they saying Nketiah was going to go to Saudi anyway? There was an offer for him in Saudi?
Yes. I mean, there's offers at Fulham. There's offers at several clubs Gym, for.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what's his name is already gone. Smith Rowe is gone.
Emile Smith Rowe.
Shocked because he was tipped to be the biggest thing at Arsenal as
and
well.
And he was well liked from an Arsenal sort of fan base because he's an Arsenal boy and things like that.
And
but
you
I
like
think,
the boy as well.
I think that injuries played their part in him not being able to get into a very successful Arsenal side. Arsenal can't hold on to players in hopes that they turn out to be good. Arsenal's competing for Premier League titles, let's be honest.
Musiso saying it will be tricky for PR for Arsenal to have Toney and Partey. What did Partey do? Because I know Toney had issues with gambling.
Yeah.
What did Partey do?
I don't know.
Musiso, what did Partey do? He went to a party.
No, man, you suck. Come on.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, okay. I'll check.
If you elaborate on that story for us,
please,
it's
would be
not
interesting.
Making
it's a good answer.
Oh, and other news in the transfer in the Premier League, Wilfred Zaha possibly returning to Palace.
He wants to move. He wants to leave Turkey. Yeah. I think it'll be a hard one for him to push through because financially, I think it'll be difficult for the Turkish club too, like after having invested time and money into him, whatever. But if it's a move that can happen, it'll be a good move for everyone. He's a good player. It will help Crystal Palace. Especially since they've lost Olise to Bayern. So they need a player in who can play that position. So I think it would be a good move for them. Yes, Sundays, I agree. Arsenal have built a very competitive team. And I agree, Rusby, as well. Arsenal do need a lethal striker to win a title. So anyway, back to what I was predicting from a Premier League standpoint. I think Liverpool will struggle. I think Newcastle will do well. I think that Chelsea, it's too much of a mess. I can't say they're going to finish top four like with any level of confidence because it's a mess there. And this bodes very well for Manchester United. Like if I'm not saying that I think Manchester United will finish in the top four. I think there's problems still there at Manchester United. The injuries are a big concern. There's something up with that medical room. Something's not right.
Yeah,
in saying that, with the other teams dropping the ball to this extent, Man United should really be saying that third place position needs to be ours. With Liverpool having their troubles, with Chelsea in a mess, United have to be looking at it and saying, we have to be third.
Yeah. Spurs would find their way there.
I agree. Spurs was predicted to finish seventh in that list of things. I would fancy Spurs as a top four side above most of that lot. And I think it's Angie's second season in charge, things like that. I think Spurs have an opportunity to go on and succeed.
Okay, look. So very quickly, let me just come in there, Moleko. Party has sexual assault to GBV case, something along those lines. So I'm assuming because the other one has some scandal, this one also has a scandal. So from a PR perspective.
From PR perspective. Precisely. Yeah, that's what he meant.
But I think...
Tony have served this time.
Yeah,
and he apologized and he did his whole thing.
A betting issue is an addiction. You know, it's not like GBV or something along those lines. No, come on. We can't excuse GBV. We can help.
You are sick. There's something wrong.
Yeah, but I'm not going to excuse it in the same way that I'm going to excuse someone who has a gambling addiction. And they're just people women. Who need help, right? So that where
just
someone
with GBV, money, that guy.
GBV is someone who needs punishment, not help. Do you know what I'm saying? They need consequences.
But that's not the conversation
I get
we're
it.
Having.
That's fine. But I think Tony served his time. I don't think it would be a PR issue.
I don't think gambling actually only hurts yourself and no one else.
Exactly.
It doesn't get better than that.
Speaking of the English national team, so we saw that, is it Costens? Is now the interim coach for the English match.
Coach.
I mean, I did say, they moved him up.
Yeah,
interim.
That's how Southgate got the job.
So
he could become the permanent manager if they don't find someone else.
Knows?
But there's only this international break coming up is not serious.
Yeah.
So they'll stick with an interim coach until they find the right man for them.
Yeah. Remember when I mentioned that there's a list, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, that the list involved, you know, I mentioned Pochettino and the like. He was also on the list.
Yeah.
But obviously he's just that guy who's there. So it's interesting. It's either those guys are not available or he's really that good that they had so much faith in him.
It's an easy transition. You just rope in the under-21 coach while you're still looking at the CVs and the list. The international break, like Marco said, is not that important. This one, at least.
Yeah, if it doesn't work out, he can always go back to his position other than getting somebody external in the interim.
It's
an easy fix. It's a short-term fix.
It's a polyfiller.
Hey, Steve the Baller saying, Manu for number 3, never Marco. Like I said... I'm not saying I expect Man United to finish in the top 4.
Lynn
There's
said
problems
to be
there.
Number 1 on the lock. Remember, guys?
He was joking, guys. Man City.
Believed him.
Oh, no. But I don't think, I'm not necessarily saying that Man United are a stonewaller for top 4. I'm not saying that at all. I think that there's still problems at the club, injuries being one of them, and also Antony's being another. But...
Even now, Marco, give it a break.
I'll never. The man won't catch rest from me. He just keeps
on catching hands.
He needs to sleep at night. Anyway, I think that if you're at that club today in a management position, in a senior role, playing at the club, you have to be looking at third and saying that needs to be our ambition. Everyone else who's really competitive for this, like Aston Villa, don't have the squad depth to compete in Champions League and say, well, they're a stonewall for third. Liverpool have issues. Chelsea have issues. You have to be saying Man United have to be targeting that. I'm not saying they will achieve it, but I think even as a Man United fan, you have to be saying that's what we need to be looking at.
May I ask a question? And this is directed to you and all Arsenal supporters. Is it now become like a reality and something that, you know, people or supporters are okay with to know that, and not even fight it, by the way, that come the end of the season, the 2024-25 season, Man City once again is going to lead and Arsenal is going to be second.
I was just giving you the predictions.
I'm asking a question.
Wait, I'm answering. I was just telling you what the supercomputer said.
What are your thoughts?
Arsenal is actually going to battle City pound for pound for the league title.
I think I've said the same thing. Arsenal are competing for the league title. End of story.
There's no way you
Man
can.
City, it's not going to be Man City to win it easy.
So
if you're going to put your money
down
on something, I think you would bet on Man City. They've still got Pep. They've still got a great squad. They're still probably the best club in the world. But Arsenal are the one that will compete with them. And when either of these sides wins it, it's going to be close.
Yeah.
And I think they're both going to be competing for the title all the way through to the end. It's going to come close.
So if I were to have your neck on this block right now and say it's either City or Arsenal, what are you going to say?
City.
And you, suppose up?
Obvious.
But you know...
No, let's let me. It could be objective.
I'll say remove my neck.
And then obviously you'll say Arsenal.
Yes, Arsenal. To win the league.
Hopes are of that... I'd back you on this one. I'd hope that Arsenal can win the league, just break some of that supremacy of Manchester City, etc. And I think it's a very good possibility if there's ever been a time that Arsenal can do it.
Yeah, because it's like a Sundowns and a lot of Pirates situation.
So you're wishing Pirates can break Sundowns'
supremacy?
That's what
supremacy. I'm trying to say.
For the same reason. I agree. I hope that Pirates can, just for interest sake as a neutral.
Why not Chiefs?
The same thing
and
that
Nabi was there scouting. How did you see? So, hey, it would be Chiefs, eh?
That's what Leverkusen did to Bayern.
We were talking about Spurs.
I think that is a Leicester story. I think. But hey, there's another season to see.
Yeah. No.
Okay,
so,
anyway.
I just want to touch on Spurs before we head on to our predictions and close up the show. Spurs is one that's going to look even more interesting with the acquisition of Dominic Solanke.
Look,
that's a great signing.
Yeah. Spurs, obviously, they had to like align themselves life after Harry Kane and things not necessarily going the way they wanted them to go. I mean, they were one of the teams that started out like a house on fire last season.
And then tapered off.
And then they tanked somewhere, right? Mm. So I think if obviously with the signings that they're making now, they have that potential to actually rattle the cage of a City, Arsenal. They probably will finish above Liverpool
and
Chelsea. So they are definitely a team to watch out for.
I agree. And I'll say one thing here away from Dominic Solanke in isolation is his move there is good news for Song Heung-min, who can move back to left wing.
Yes.
Yeah. Because this
is where we know how he is most dangerous. Because he was playing as a false nine or a number nine.
That's why I was missing those one-on-ones. Mm.
Yeah.
He always come from the side.
Yeah. So I think moving Song to the left wing because the manager doesn't have faith in Richarlison, understandably.
Brazilian.
Dominic Solanke.
Is another Anderson, that one?
No, another Anthony.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think for me, Spurs... I think it's a very good move for them, and I see them doing well this season. Betway picks ahead of this weekend. Man United versus Fulham on Friday night. Len Moleko.
Draw.
Seppi, darling.
2-1 win for United.
Super sub.
No, I'm not because when you mentioned it, I wanted to say draw as well. Like, I think it's going to be draw.
I think that we are going to come out of that first fixture of the season and look at it and be like, how did Man United get 3 points from that? I think that Man United are going to play poorly and somehow win.
Nah, it's okay.
Draw.
Okay.
Ipswich
versus Liverpool. The early kickoff once again for Liverpool on a Saturday. Pasta early in the morning. Nothing's changed. Liverpool versus Ipswich early on a Saturday morning.
I think Liverpool to win.
Ipswich, first game in the Premier League. Stadium's going to be bouncing.
Mm. Still.
They've not been in the Premier League for a long time.
Liverpool to win. They'll just carry on the momentum from last season.
Mm-hmm.
They
know how to win on a Saturday morning early.
Yeah.
Or a Saturday early afternoon.
It's going
rather.
To be interesting what Arne does with Liverpool, but I still see them winning.
Okay.
Yep.
Or Liverpool.
Yep.
I think Liverpool to win it. I think that it's a big step up for Ipswich, but they will get their points at some point in the season. It just won't be in the opening weekend. Then a bunch of kickoffs at 4 p.m. on Saturday. Arsenal against Wolves. Arsenal to win comfortably.
Yeah, at the Emirates.
At the Emirates.
Definitely.
Yeah. I think Wolves is one of those teams that I'm backing to struggle
2.0,
this season.
2.5 win,
I really think, I worry for Wolves and Fulham. This season, I don't think Fulham's a bad side, but they've lost a marquee player already, and I think it's gonna be they've brought in some reinforcements, good players, but when you're shopping for Scott McTominay, as you say, but not I'm a fan of Scott McTominay. I think he's a good player, but I don't think that you're ambitious enough if that's where you're shopping.
Yo.
I'm just saying it's a tough league.
That's deep.
If you're anywhere else, you can be in Italy, Spain, Portugal, France, Germany.
It's a good acquisition.
And I think it's a good, but Premier League is that tough. Okay. So okay. I fancy him a good player. He gets goals, etc. But Fulham, I think, might struggle this season. So all of us backing big Arsenal win at home to Wolves.
Yes. Arsenal win. Let's move.
Everton versus Brighton. Everton at home.
Everton to win.
Yeah. So they'll be on minus 17.
Mm. Everton to win, yeah.
Seppi, darling.
I think it's going to be a draw.
Brighton's a good side. We always forget it.
That Everton at home we saw last season. That's how they survive, actually.
Sean Dykes doesn't concede goals at home.
Yeah.
He doesn't concede many goals at home. He's done it throughout his managerial career in the Premier League. Newcastle against Southampton. Good game.
Newcastle to win.
Okay.
They're playing at home.
Yeah, Newcastle were running out of steam last season, yes, trying to compete in so many competitions.
They're playing at St. James's.
At St. James's Park. That's also, I think that...
I
think that Newcastle will start the season well because they just really ran out of steam. It was just too much competitive football for them all at once. And I think after the preseason break, they didn't have many players out on international duty. They didn't have an FA Cup fixture, things like that. I think this time's been good for them and they'll come back flying. Forest versus Bournemouth. I fancy Bournemouth.
Bournemouth for the win.
Yeah, win
Doesn't
or draw.
Forest have a new manager?
No, it's still Nuno Espirito Santo, isn't it?
Nuno.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Espirito something.
Espirito Santo.
Yes.
Nuno Espirito Santo. I suppose you can call him a new manager. He's been there since January, December.
Yeah. Okay.
I fancy Bournemouth in that one. I think Forest going to struggle this season. Bournemouth
okay,
a good
but
side.
But Bournemouth just lost Solanke. We just spoke about it still.
They're still a good side.
Okay.
Still a good side. West Ham against Aston Villa. West Ham
Villa,
at home.
Villa to win.
Villa.
I see a draw.
I think Villa are favourites, but anything can happen in a West Ham game at home, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
You know, so yeah, I'd go 1x2. Villa win or draw.
Yep.
I still go for a Villa win.
Sure. I don't argue with you. Super sub, West Ham at home, Aston Villa Saturday night.
West Ham.
West Ham at home to Aston Villa?
Yeah, West Ham at home at Aston.
Good evening.
Yeah, I know. They will
win. And okay. They have the win now, don't they?
Okay, Aston Villa to win the Champions League because good evening.
Good evening.
I still go for Villa.
I think if I'm Aston Villa right now, sorry, just to mention Aston Villa while we're there, best case scenario for Villa in the Champions League is to finish third in your group and be in the Europa League and then go win it because that man knows how to win that competition.
Yeah, but Unai knows how to play continental competitions.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But Champions League's too much of a stretch for an Aston Villa.
True.
But if he finishes third, Aston Villa go win the Europa League?
I still think he will punch above his weight in the Champions League.
I agree. I think they'll look good. Just like Newcastle did against PSG last season.
Yeah.
So I think English sides are going to perform well in European football. Brentford on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. Brentford versus Crystal Palace.
Palace for the win.
Away at Brentford.
Yes. Palace finished the season.
I think it's a draw.
I think Brentford is going to win.
So I agree with you. Palace finished the season strong. They're going to do well.
Yeah.
But Selhurst Park is going to mean everything to them. Mm. I think that they're a stupendously good side at home.
That's
but
what I'm
away
saying.
From home, I fancy Brentford to just notch this one. But it's going to be a tight game. Again, I might go 1x2, mm-hmm. Brentford or draw. And then the fixture of the weekend, the last game of the weekend. Of course, the last game of the first round of fixtures is still to come on Monday night. But the last game of the weekend on Sunday, Chelsea hosting Manchester City. 5:30 Stamford Bridge. What a way to kick off the Premier League.
Yeah, Man City are playing against a no club. Chelsea is not a club, guys.
I think it's going to be a draw, Len.
But I think City will win. Comfortably so.
I see a 3-1 win for City.
Mm.
I think it's going to be a draw.
Can I bet on a good game?
I don't know. Look at the odds.
I'll look at the odds.
I'll tell you why I'm saying that. City always starts very slow. We've seen it with Spurs, the battle that they didn't win.
But this season, going by how last season went, you want to hit the ground running.
Of course, but it's not only up to you. You're facing Chelsea. That has been a problematic team towards Manchester City the previous season.
Chelsea with a new coach that they Enzo got Maresca. From Leicester.
Mm.
A team that is riddled with issues and problems. Come on. Respect Man City a little bit.
It's still Stamford Bridge, eh?
Hey, this man's just blowing smoke.
I know he's...
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, you sort of took the words out of my mouth. Enzo Maresca, big problems. The squad's too big. You don't even know who you're going to choose because you've got a million players and you don't like any of them. What I'm saying? It's like it's just problems at Chelsea. I think City win this one.
I think Shots has tears in his eyes right now. We've been...
Sorry, Shots, but it's not our fault that you sold to Americans. I don't know what to tell you. I didn't start the war in Ukraine. That's not my fault.
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Oh,
Mr. Hey, Marco, today's firing.
Is that not what happened to Chelsea? Is that war not what happened to Chelsea?
It's essentially what happened.
Okay.
It is, Marco.
Leicester hosting Spurs. Leicester back. It's so nice to see Leicester back.
Yeah, it is. Spurs
away for a season.
They must get the, what you call, dilly dong.
Oh man, what a legend. Leicester hosting Spurs Monday night, the first Monday night football game of the season. Leicester at home. I think Spurs might struggle because Leicester, the stadium might be bouncing, the whistles might be out.
I still fancy Spurs to win that game.
I also fancy Spurs to win that game, although same they lost to Bayern Munich at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Preseason, those things don't count, guys.
I see a draw.
It's like us reading too much into the Toyota Cup and saying Chiefs is going to be 1-2-3. It's preseason.
Remember, please respect the Visit Malaysia Cup. Please. Okay, I also fancy a Spurs win. Superstar.
Spurs.
A draw.
A draw between Leicester and Spurs, and that's how we'll wrap up your English Premier League Betway picks. Be sure to head on over to Betway. If you are joining as a new user, use the affiliate code onside. ZA.
It helps us.
It helps us. It helps us out a lot.
Keep the lights on.
Yeah.
And we have a lot important of lights.
Sure. And it's on. Getting hot in here. And that's a good time to wrap it up. Thank you so much to you, the ballers. Thank you for all your predictions. We will get more into the conversation a little bit more next week. Looking forward to that Premier League fixture. But remember, stay onside. Don't be offside. Stay onside with me, Len Moleko, Tseppi Worldwide, and Super Sub.
Danko.
Remember, get way more with Betway.
Booyah.
Bye.